Glory to God. Romans 1, verse 17. Okay, now what we're going to look at today is faith versus feelings. Now, when you mention the term versus, faith versus feelings, normally you're thinking in terms of something like an Ali versus Frazier fight, or something like the Detroit Pistons versus the LA Lakers. There's normally opposition there. And many times you'll find in the Word of God that the things that God tells us to do and the things He teaches us to believe are in opposition to what we've already been believing. Have you found that? You find out when God says the just shall live by faith and they've got to believe the Word of God and the Word of God says tithe and you'll get more instead of having less. That doesn't make sense to me. When I first heard it several years ago when I started with God, I was like, no, you can't give away and get more. That principle doesn't work. The world doesn't work that way. But there's another principle. There's the principles of God. And God makes sure that His principles work all the time. The world's principles aren't guaranteed. Your stockbroker will tell you to take $2,000 and put it over in this stock. It's going great. It's doing well. And 6 months later, you lost that money. With God, if He told you to do it and you act in faith and you move out and you do it, it will always be as He told you as you stay in faith. Jesus said so many times, be it unto you according to your faith. He told the woman with the issue of blood. He told many people healed. He said, be it unto you according to your faith. Now, what I want to stir up in Christians, which I see as a problem, is many Christians don't have faith. They have single faith in God. I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that nearly 2,000 years ago He died on the cross for my sins. They believe that and that gets them born again. But what about financial prosperity? Do they believe what the Word of God says about tithing? What about healing? Do they believe what the Word of God says that by Jesus' stripes you're healed in 1 Peter 2:24? Do they believe Isaiah 53 verses 3 through 5 when it says that He Himself bore our sicknesses upon His body? In Matthew 16:17, where it talks about He took the stripes that we might be healed. Do we believe that? Do we believe what the Word of God says about raising our children? You know, not spare the rod, spoil the child. It says, if you a parent who loves their child would discipline that child. If you do not discipline your child, then you hate that child. The Bible says hate. The world says, listening to Dr. Spock and all these guys, you just kind of let them grow up. They'll be okay. It's not going to work. The Bible says something which we don't like to hear, but it says a sin is pent up in the heart of a child. You're like, what? Sin is pent up in the heart of a child? It's a little innocent baby. Well, the thing is, babies are born selfish. You were a baby once. Some people stay babies too long, still selfish. They were born that way. And discipline will take you out of that. You know you need discipline to succeed in every area of life. You need discipline to be in faith. What do you think Jesus called those 12 men that hung out with Him? Disciples means disciplined ones. What were they disciplined in? They were disciplined in the Word of God. They were disciplined in the teaching of God. They didn't do whatever they wanted to do. They didn't just hang out. Sure, He didn't tell them what pair of sandals to put on or anything. It wasn't that disciplined. But yet, He taught them how to pray and expected them to pray. We're disciples of Christ. If we're born again today, we're disciples of Christ. But do we let the Lord have any room in our life? Do we obey Him when He says the just shall live by faith? Romans 1:17. Let's read that and we'll see what it might say. I suppose you ought to be there. Let me get there with you. Romans 1:17. And it's going to say something that's, you know, we're going to look at this in several places. And it shocks a lot of people. Romans 1:17. Okay, here we go. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now that indicates your faith can grow from faith to faith, not from no faith to faith, but from faith to faith. So if you've got the faith to get born again, there's more in faith. There's more available. There's more in the Word of God to believe. Now it goes on and says, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's in Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. But we're going to flip over to Galatians 3:11. We're going to stay in the New Testament here. Galatians 3:11. And we're going to see what that might happen to say. Galatians 3:11. I'll get there and go ahead and read for time's sake. Now, Galatians 3:11 says again in the latter part of that verse, the just shall live by faith. Okay, it's in Habakkuk. It's in Romans 1:17. It's in Galatians 3:11. If you turn to Hebrews 10:38, guess what you'll read? The just shall live by faith. And it goes on and on. I've got a whole list of how many places in the scripture where it says the just, those who are declared righteous through Jesus Christ, the just, not the world, but the just shall live by faith. Well, what is this we're supposed to live by? The just shall live by, I'm born again, I'm supposed to live by faith. What is that? I've gone to churches and they don't have a slide to deal with what faith is. It's kind of like I heard one preacher say, with no faith, if he walked up the center aisle with a red hat on. Couldn't recognize faith from feelings, from anything else. But faith is what the Christian is told to live by, because it says faith is your victory which overcomes the world. Many Christians look like the world, live like the world, have the same results as the world. You wouldn't know they were born again unless you asked them. And the reason is they're not living by faith, so they are under the world system. They're caught under the financial problems. If they lose their job, they're out of money like everybody else. If you're in faith, God will bring you another job. If you're in faith and they're laying people off, God might keep you in that job and get rid of the other people. But if you choose not to walk by faith and not to live by faith, you fall under the circumstances and the control of this world system, even though you're born again. I tell people, being born again is not a magic wand. If you were bald head the day before you got born again, you'd be bald head the day after. You know? If you like looking at dirty magazines the day before, you might be less something on the inside. You tell you don't do it, but your flesh still wants to look at it. If you ran loose before you got born again, you still want to run loose afterwards because you have flesh to deal with. Man is spirit, soul, and body, and we'll cover that subject some other time. But you get born again, and Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he says, I have to buffet my body. I have to keep my body under. He has to keep that flesh nature under. Because I'm born again, but a pretty girl is a pretty girl. You know, a lot of money is a lot of money. Those things that might have been very appealing to me before, they'll still be appealing, but that's why I have to use the Word of God. You have to apply the Word of God to the situation so you can get control. The whole Christian life is about control, discipline. Discipline. Boy, I found out that as I start following Jesus, things just come in line. I mean, things, I don't even know how they come in line. They just come in line. But the Word of God is like that. The Word of God is like that. It's powerful. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder spirit and soul. You know why, as a Christian, when you talk to people about the Word, they don't want to hear it? You can talk about OJ, you can talk about Hojo and Mojo and anybody else you want to, and oh yeah, it's just another opinion. You start talking about the Bible, people get upset. You know why? Because it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides asunder spirit and soul. Every man has within him the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible says that. And a man has to face his evil when he faces the Word of God. And that's why if you bring up the Word, oh, people get upset. They'll get hot. And why? They don't get hot over anything else. And they don't even know why. They just figure you're trying to force it on them. You're pushing it on them. You're not pushing on them. It's the anointing that's in the Word. I have people ask me, they say, well, Robert, how do I get more anointing in my life? How do I get more power of God in my life? I said, get more Word in your life. Because anointing is on the Word. If you don't ever read your Bible, you don't ever study your Bible, you don't ever go to a good church where you hear the Word taught the way it's supposed to be taught on a regular basis, you're going to have very little anointing. And anointing is power. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage, Jesus said. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. And there's a lot of unanointed Christians. They can't break their own chains, nor can they break anybody else's being a witness for Christ. But we're going to grow up in God. We're going to grow up in the Word. But then again, the just shall live by faith. We're talking about faith versus feelings. The just shall live by faith. Now, you can't understand God by your feelings. That's something I want people to understand. You cannot understand God by your feelings. And when I say feelings, I'm talking about the touch, taste, see, your senses. You know, if you didn't have these five senses and you were born in this earth, as far as you're concerned, you're not even born. Because the only way your brain gets information to sense anything is through your five senses. If your five senses doesn't tell you it exists, it doesn't exist to you. But for the Christian, there's another sense, sixth sense, if you would, faith. You know, faith can tell me something exists when I don't have any sensory proof that it does. And even people in this world use faith, but they'll say they don't. A farmer goes out, plants his crop in May. He goes out, starts arranging for tractors and whatever they use in farming equipment and arranging for people to come help in about 3 months to harvest that crop. There's no crop out there. How do you know that seed going to grow? How do you know worms are not going to eat it up? What is he doing? There's no fact that it's going to come up. Just because it came up last year doesn't mean it's coming up this year. Sometimes you plant seed and it doesn't come up. It could be bad seed. It could be bad soil. But I bet you when he plants it, he goes and gets prepared to harvest it. Why? Because he's in faith. Faith is not a foreign thing. People are trying to say, oh, you walk by faith, not by sight. Oh, you're crazy. Farmers walk by faith, not by sight. If you're sitting in that chair and you didn't do this first, you're walking by faith. Because you sat down believing it was going to hold you up. You never sat in that chair before. That chair might collapse and fall over. But you believed it would hold you up. You were in faith that it would hold you up. Now, it might be because it happened before it held you up, but that chair never held you up. You don't know. So people get all caught up on what they require to be in faith and to live by faith. They've got to have this, that, and the other. You don't have to have that. You can believe whatever you want to believe. It's just a matter of choice. I was talking to a gentleman the other day where we talked about faith, and of course he didn't believe in it. And I said, well, do you believe George Washington was first president of the United States? He says, yes. I said, you ever met him? You never met anybody that knew him? How do you know he was the president? Well, my teacher taught me in school. Who's your teacher? Well, did she meet him? They read in a book he was the first president, and they chose to believe it. This is a book. You can choose to believe whatever you want to in it. Nothing's stopping you from believing the Word of God. It's a choice. God's not going to prove to you he exists. He says you have to believe, taste, and then see. And that's what stops so much of the world, because they want to see first before they taste. They don't want to live by faith. If it says be in faith and give your tithe anyway, they don't want to do it. If it says be in faith, and even though your body still has pain, you confess the word of God, it says, by his stripes I'm healed. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I'm healed. And even though you're feeling pain in your body, they don't want to believe the word. They want to keep looking at the senses. They want to keep saying, no, I can't be healed because I feel so bad. I can't be healed. My head is, this and that. God says, get in faith, and your faith will heal you. The lady with the issue of blood had an issue of blood. But she came, and she just believed that if he touched me, I'd be healed. She got in faith, and then she got out of her predicament and got healed. But she had to have faith first. She could have said, well, you know, I heard about Jesus. I like his ministry. I believe in him, and stayed at home. I believe in him, but still been sick. But then she decided to be moved on her faith. Now, let's go with this faith versus feeling again. I mean, you can only understand God by his word. You can't understand him by feelings. You can't, before they get born again, and sometimes after they get born again, they're used to being flesh-led. So what happens is they still want to be flesh-led. They still want to feel it. You know, our church wasn't good today. I didn't feel anything. Well, what do you have to feel to make church good? God's not a feeling. Well, you know, I must didn't get saved. I don't feel saved. What does the Word of God say? If you confess with your mouth the Lord God Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that God raised from dead, you shall be saved. Will you or won't you? Did you or don't you? You know what I mean? It's not a matter of, I did it, and I did exactly what it said, but I don't feel anything. They're waiting for feeling. Then somebody go talk them out of their salvation. Oh, you're not saved. You can get anything. Talk them out of salvation. Go through the ministry line. Get hands laid on for healing. God's manifested the healing in their body. They walk off. Somebody say, well, you know, you can get anything. You still got such and such. Get right out of faith. Well, I guess not. Step right out of faith. And that was supposed to be their point to where they start believing the Word of God. Okay, I'm saying that this is what the Word of God says. The preacher told me. I don't care what my body says. I'm not walking by sight. I'm walking by faith. I'm going to stick with the Word. The Word says this, and it will manifest in your body. There's stories and countless number of stories in the Bible, the Word of God, if that's how it works. God told Abraham about 20-some years before he had a child that I was going to make you a father of a nation. He had been married to Sarah for a billion years already, and she couldn't have no kids, couldn't have any. He knew that. If he was walking by sight, he never got in faith. But the angel of the Lord told him, you shall be Abraham, the father of a nation. Well, I can't be a father of a nation. I don't have a kid. He said, just believe. And he believed. And Abraham walked all those years, not having any kids, but still, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which meant father of a nation. And he began, if you wanted to call him, you had to speak faith to him. Abraham, father of a nation. You had to call him father of a nation. And several years later, next thing you know, his wife pops up pregnant, 90 years old. You know, you really popped up pregnant if you're 90 years old. But she pops up pregnant. Where did this come from? It goes back to what God said. But at any time, Abraham could have said, no, God's a liar. That angel's a liar. That wasn't an angel. That was just somebody walking down the street. Forget it. He could have decided to stop believing it, and that stops the power of God manifesting what God wants to manifest. God told me a whole lot of things that I could quit believing them right now, and they'll never come to pass. You know, we could have quit believing last year about starting a church this year. We could have quit believing the year before that about going a couple years for that for Bible school. We could have quit believing in God all the way back. And none of this would have been. Faith is a choice. You believe or you don't believe. If you still want to be led by your feelings, you are not going to believe it until I feel it, you're going to be limited tremendously in what God would do for you in your life. You ever look at some Christians, you'll see them on TV or you'll meet some, you say, man, everything just seems to be so great for their life. Man, everything, I wish I just had it like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Man, boy, they're just flowing in anointing and they minister. I don't have any of that. Well, you don't do what they do. It's available for everybody. It tells us in James 2:1 that God is not a respecter of persons. It's available to anybody who would not only get born again, begin to read the Word of God and begin to live the Word of God and begin to walk by faith, live by faith. And you'll find after a while, because I'm hitting the point, it's progressive. I'm hitting the point now, I started hitting about 4 years ago, where I know these things are going to happen. You know, I told somebody, I was preaching once in Oklahoma at a tent revival, and I told him, I said, I used to believe in God, but I don't believe in God anymore. Shocked him. Shocked you too, doesn't it? Yeah, I used to believe in God, I don't believe in God anymore. See, I had to believe in God before I knew there was a God. And there's a stage that you come to in your Christian maturity where you get to, most people still just believe in God. They never get beyond that. But they get to a point where God's done it so many times, I've got empirical evidence. I've got this time he did it, that time he did it. Just based on fact alone, I know there's a God. I don't even have to believe anymore. I know there's a God. I don't believe in him. I know he's there. And you hear some Christians talking, you say, man, they talk with such determination. Boy, I mean, God, they got a God I don't have. They got a knowledge of God I don't have. But knowledge is power. And knowledge of God will give you the power and anointing to go out and do things for God. The power and anointing to change your circumstances. The power and anointing to improve your place of employment. To improve where you work. To improve your earning potential. The power of God changes people's lives if they do what it takes. There's people in the world that do what it takes to succeed. But yet you have the multimillionaires and the zillionaires and the rest of these trillionaires. And they'll turn around, they're unhappy. Somebody killed somebody. Somebody did this to... You mean tell me money doesn't make people happy? You know, most of us never have anything to find out, never get enough to find out, but it doesn't make people happy. Money makes you happy when you give it away to people. Sure, you keep some, take care of your needs, but there's nothing happier than going up to somebody. You ever have those times when you pastor comes to town, preacher comes to town, he's preaching, or missionary, and oh, you see the need and he's doing so much work. Oh, I wish I could write him $1,000 check, but you don't even have it to give. So in that case, if you had it to give, oh, you know how happy you'd be? Somebody in need trying to do something, you see them struggling and you write out a little check to them. That makes you happy. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And as you grow in your Christian walk and you start to think as God and to move as God and to walk by faith more often, I guarantee you, it's happened thousands of times over and over, your perspective will change of life. Your perspective of God will change. The way you view things will change. Healings will be manifesting in your body. You can even walk in what the Bible calls divine health, where you don't ever have to get sick. You don't have to catch a cold. You don't have to get a headache. You don't have to have this, that, or the other. You don't have to have it if you're born again. Oh, but you don't know, Pastor, I've got it, and you know, my mother had it, my grandmother had it, and it just runs in my family. Well, stop it from running. Stop the race. Take the word of God and stop the race. It's over with. No more running in my family. Because a whole lot of stuff runs in family. People getting pregnant out of wedlock, that'll run in your family too if you don't change something in your generation. Because your kids are more likely to be predisposed to the same thing. And it happens to stop the seed. Right there. Just change and say, I'm going to follow the word of God. I don't care what my grandmother or my mother did. You know, my grandmother was a champion worrier. My mother was a champion worrier. My aunts and uncles are champion worriers. I can't help but worry. You can help it. God will help you. But again, it's not a magic wand. It's something you got to do. You got to read. You got to study. You got to get the word of God in you. When you get the word of God in you, the change comes. And when the change comes, the benefit of having changed comes. But you got to be willing to have faith in the word of God, not just parts and pieces, because your blessing will manifest in the area where you have faith. If you have faith in that you're born again, yes, you will go to heaven. But if that's all you have, the rest of it, you're under the world system. They're laying people off. You'll be laid off too. You're just another number in the bunch. You haven't given God the authority. You haven't given him your area of life there. I had a guy, illustration I heard once where there was a building. And it's, let's say, a house, and it had like four rooms. And this man would open up the door, and he'd let certain people in to stay. And then Jesus would come, and he'd come to the house, and the guy would say, okay, you can stay up there in that big room upstairs. You know, we gave him the nicest room in the place. So Jesus would come and go, and he'd stay there and leave. And while Jesus was there, things were going well in certain areas. While Jesus wasn't there, wasn't going too well. But the man always had problems. He never got rid of all his problems. Now, if you look at that, the illustration is that that's what a lot of people do with their heart and with their life. Jesus, you can come into this area of my life. And they get blessed in that area of their life. But you can't come in this area. This is mine. I want to do what I want to over here. So all kind of chaos and problems are going on in your life in that area because you won't let the light of God in. You want to let the light of his word in. Where the light comes in, darkness goes. Because you know light's more powerful than darkness? If you turn on a light switch in a dark room, everywhere gets light. You ever turn on a dark switch in a light room and everything get dark? No dark switch. Darkness is the absence of light. And people who have the absence of God in their life are in darkness. Light is more powerful than darkness. Whenever light and dark are in the same place, dark goes. And light stays. You let the Word of God in different areas of your life by faith, living by faith, walking by faith, believing what it says, you'd be surprised how everything opens up. Man, for years I had a problem with that. I just couldn't seem to do this, couldn't seem to do that, but I finally decided, look, God, okay, I gave my life to you. I might as well act like I really meant it and give my life to you. Not areas, not rooms, not compartments, but to give him your whole life. You'd be surprised at how things change. Now, what happens is the scary part about living by faith is when you're used to walking by your feelings and you live by faith, it's kind of like stepping out on a cloud. You know with your senses, water vapor, which makes up clouds, will not hold you up. But God's saying, step out. I'll hold you up. Well, God, you're over there, and my matter, physical body is here, and this is water vapor. I don't want to step on that. I don't want to walk by faith. You know why? Because when you walk by faith, you've given your life to Jesus. You're out of control of it. And people don't like to be out of control like that. Because, see, if God told me to pack my bags, move your family, go to West Palm Beach, start a church, this is what I want you to do, so forth, I got to decide whether I'm going to step on that cloud or not. I got a decision to make. Am I going to obey God, or am I going to stay back here? Well, I like it here. That's fine. I'll pass on that one, maybe another one next time. That's what people do with God. They pick and choose. But if you've given your life to Christ, give it to him. And you'll find out that you can walk on clouds, you can walk on water. You can tread on serpents. The Bible, you hear the Bible talk about that and people scream and shout, but they hadn't stepped on any serpents. Serpents walking all over their head, all over their back, right? Coming to church. Oh, it's been a terrible week. They land me off on the job. Coming in with devils on their back. They're not walking over any devils. Lord, give me authority over devils. I said, he can give you authority over the city, but if you don't accept that authority, you're not going to have any authority. He can give you a police badge, but if you don't go out and do police work, nobody's going to recognize your authority. And a lot of Christians, the devil has deceived and duped them into believing they don't have the authority they have. I talk to people about you don't have to be sick. Oh, no, you know, you're in this world. You got to be sick. Pastors get on the radio. You got to be sick. People talk about you don't have to be sick. They're crazy. I don't care what the Bible says. We don't believe it like that. I said, well, you keep believing the way you want to and be sick, and I'll not believe it that way, and I'll be healed, and we'll be in heaven together anyway. But don't bring your sickness because they ain't going to have it there. You don't have to be if you have the faith. There are levels of faith. From faith to faith. The Bible says every man is given the measure of faith. So everybody has enough faith to believe the word of God and get born again. But what you do with it after that, you have to build your faith. The Bible talks about ever exceedingly growing faith. It talks about exceeding faith. It talks about great faith. It talks about little faith. It talks about unfeigned faith. You go and look at those different definitions. Those are classifications of faith. And sometime this year, I'm going to try and teach that. Classifications of faith and the characteristics of each level. So you can identify people. But more important, don't mind their business, mind yours, identify yourself. I want to be in more faith this year than last year. There was a point when I could believe God for $5 and it's supernaturally coming in out of nowhere. There's a point I could believe God for $500 and come out of nowhere. There's a point I could believe God for $1,000 and come out of nowhere. Not because I want to get it to go buy a new suit or something crazy like that, but I want to believe it so I can give it to a missionary. I want to believe it in so I can meet the needs of the church. I want to believe it in so I can supply the needs of my family. And God will honor that. Sounds like magic, doesn't it? Well, God is not bound by the rules of this world. I mean, you read through the Bible, people walking on water, people walking through walls, people doing this, that, and the other. You think he's bound by the limitations of this world? And when you hook up as his child and you take your authority and you start treading on these serpents by telling them, look, I believe the word of God. I don't care what my feelings tell me. I don't care what I see, what I taste, what I touch, what I hear. I'm going to believe the word of God. The Bible talks about standing on the word. I'm going to put the word down there and I'm going to stand on the word of God. And the word of God will hold you up every time. Now, you can get on there and get to wavering. You put the word of God down, you start off, then all of a sudden the circumstances start coming. You know, all of a sudden the pain gets greater. And you say, no, I believe I'm healed. I believe. And the pain starts getting greater and you start like, well, maybe I'm not healed. Well, maybe I am. Maybe I'm. You know how they talk about wavering faith? And the man that wavers, let him know he shall receive nothing from God in James 1. He shall receive nothing from God, the man that wavers. You got to put your foot on a solid rock. I don't care if the rock's sitting on the cloud, but you put your foot out there on Jesus. To give you an example, Peter, you remember the story when Peter walked on water? Some of you guys familiar with that one? Jesus had stayed over in Galilee or somewhere for a while, and he sent them ahead to go to the other side for the next meeting. He goes, prays, then he comes at midnight sometime, and they're looking out there like, what is that out on the water? We're in the middle of the water. I mean, what is that out on the water? Looks like a ghost. Is it a spirit? And they said, I think it's Jesus walking on the water. I think it's Jesus.
And Peter is real rambunctious. If you study the Word of God, you get his personality. He's wanting to do anything. He's real rambunctious. Reminds me of a friend, Gerard. He'll do it. If it says go, he's in it. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. He didn't give him any option but to say come. You know, he didn't say like, if it's you, just tell me. He said, if it's you, tell me to come out. And he said, come. It's him. He said, yeah, it's me. Come. Peter gets out of the boat, walks. And remember the setting here. Jesus was afar off. They couldn't hardly tell it was him. He was so far away. But they could see it was something in the dark. So he said, if it's you, bid me come, Lord. He says, come. Peter gets out the boat. He didn't take three steps. Peter walked up to where he got close to Jesus. Because the Word of God tells us he got so close to when he got out of faith and started to fall, Jesus just reached out. Did you know Jesus is not Stretch Armstrong? He didn't throw his arm and go, his arm just go out about a mile and get Peter. He was within grasping range. So Peter had gone from where they could barely see Jesus, walked on water up to where he was almost to Jesus. Peter walked on water, man with natural flesh. Walked on water, which does not hold matter. But he walked on water. Because there was enough power in the Word of God to say, come, that it was there. But the Bible tells us, too, and teaches us an important lesson about faith versus feelings and faith versus your natural senses. They say, what happened? They said, Peter began to look at the storm. And he saw how boisterous the clouds were. He began to hear the wind. You ever do something for God, and all of a sudden you hear everybody tell you, you can't do that. They're full of wind. You can't. Well, nobody's ever done that before. Well, who are you? You don't come from nice enough family. You don't have enough money to do that. You can't be healed. My grandmother died from that. So you can't be healed. You hear the wind blowing. And the Bible says Peter turned and considered the wind. He considered the circumstances and then began to sink. And Jesus reached out and grabbed him and said, oh, ye of little faith. That's what little faith will get you, little results. You can walk on water for a while, but you're going down if you don't believe the whole Word of God. It's just a decision, people. That's all. Just decide to believe it. I'm going to believe it. And you read it and you say, Lord, give it to me. And, you know, if you show it to me, Holy Spirit, reveal it to me so I can see what it is. I don't believe anything kooky, but reveal to me what is the Word, and I'll believe it. And if your heart is earnest like that, when you read through the Word of God today or later on, God will show you things in there you hadn't seen before. That's what happened to me. I used to read the Bible and, hey, I don't understand this, thee and thou and thises and doses and do's and doses. I don't know what's going on here. You know, but I'd be wanting to understand it, but I didn't know anything what was going on. And somebody, I heard a minister say once, he said, pray before you read the Word. Pray and ask God, like Paul did, that he will open up the eyes of your understanding. Lord, I'm trying to understand this so I can live by it. Now, you're unfair if you tell me to live by something I can't understand. And we know God is just, not unjust. So therefore, it must be a way. Well, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, it's good that I leave, or expedient that I leave, because they didn't want Jesus to leave when he got resurrected and he was there. Oh, yeah, you're living forever now. Stay here. He said, no, it's better that I leave, because then I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll send the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the revelator, to teach the church. So I look to the Holy Ghost to teach me the Word of God. And I pray, and I say, Father God, you know, teach me by your Holy Spirit something today so I can live by it, because I want to improve my life. That's why I pray before we start today. I believe you're learning something. I believe everybody in here is learning something they hadn't learned before. Why? Because I prayed, and God answers prayer. When you pray in accordance with the Word of God. And I prayed in accordance with the Word of God, so I know everybody's hearing something they hadn't heard before. Somebody's getting their help. So people are getting their faith. But not one person, not two people, everybody. Because that's what I believed. And the Word of God says I can believe that, and I know I have that kind of authority. And you have it too. So I look at the Word of God, and Peter starts looking around at the circumstances like most people, and whoop! And as I was growing up in God, I did that a time or two, get out there in faith, walking on clouds, start looking at circumstances. I don't look and say, see, faith doesn't work. Living by faith doesn't work. I don't do that. I say, well, I must have failed somewhere because God cannot fail. I must have failed. Let me look back. Oh, I did start concentrating and doing all this about this thing here, and that's not the Word of God. And, you know, and I did listen to so-and-so all the time. Don't hang around negative people. Don't hang around people full of doubt and unbelief because you can't be in faith. Don't hang around Thomases, doubting Thomases. Let's flip over real quick as we start getting close to closing here to John 20. And we're going to take a look at Thomas. And we looked at Peter. And Peter got out there and had little faith. Even though he did walk on some water. He did something very supernatural. Walked on water. But he didn't stay up. John 20, verse 24. And we're going to look closely here real quick. John 20, 24. Okay. Get there myself. Okay, John 20, 24 says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus,
If you guys want to know what Didymus means, and your Bible doesn't tell you, Didymus means the twin. So apparently Thomas had a twin. I don't know if he doubted too, but he had one, you know. But they said, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Now this is the setting here is when Jesus had already died, already spent 3 days in the bowels of hell, already been resurrected by the power of the Father, and now he's coming back to appear to people to say, see, I told you so. I'm coming back. Now I've got to go be with the Father now, but I'm coming back again. And that's what we're waiting on now for his return. But he came back then when he went to the grave and some of them got out of faith and started saying, oh, it was a nice dream. We had a good time those 3.5 years. I remember the good times walking on water, but never again. They killed him. He's dead. All the doubters were saying that. The believers were saying, he said he's coming back. And people today are still saying that he's not coming back. He'd have been here by now. But then the believers are saying he's coming back because he said he's coming back. He's coming back. Now, Thomas was one that didn't believe he was coming back. Thomas said, Thomas was not with them when Jesus came, so he didn't see him when he came back. But the other disciples therefore said unto Thomas, in verse 25, we have seen the Lord. Yes, we have seen him. He's back, Thomas. We saw him with our eyes. We saw him. But Thomas said unto them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and I put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe he's back. Now that's a pretty strong assertion there. He said, forget it. I'm not walking by faith my foot until I can not only see him, but stick my hand in, put this here, do that there, touch him, feeling, smelling, until I can sense him, he doesn't exist. How many people tell you Jesus doesn't exist, God doesn't exist, it's all just a dream? Why? Because they can't sense him. They could choose to believe, but they just can't sense it. They believe in Abraham Lincoln. They believe in George Washington. Don't believe in Jesus. Because they need to sense him. That's what Thomas said. Now it says, after 8 days, again, Jesus' disciples were within. They were within their room or their chamber or their meeting room or whatever. And Thomas was with them that time. Then came Jesus, the door being shut. Now I like to catch these little intricacies of the Word of God. Why did it say the door being shut? Because a lot of people read right past that. Jesus either walked through the wall or he just appeared. So Thomas didn't like, oh, you walked in the door, you never was really dead, you know. You really weren't dead, you know. They just took you off the cross and pretended like you were dead. Even if you're alive, you don't appear through the wall. The Bible saw fit to let us know the door was shut. Okay? So with the door being shut, Jesus appeared supernaturally. And he stood in the midst and he said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither. See, Jesus knew what Thomas was doing. And he said, here, Thomas, come over here. Reach hither thy finger and behold my hand, and reach hither thy hand and thrust into my side, and be not faithless or without faith, but be believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen or because thou hast sensed, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus is not popping up to everybody. I know some people to say they've had manifestations of the Lord, and maybe they have, but he's not popping up on a regular basis. So therefore, in this generation, we have to decide to believe the word or not without sense. That's why they say the just have to live by faith. If you're born again today and you decide to live by faith, then praise God. You live by faith, why not live the rest of your life by faith? Why not open up all the doors of your house and let Jesus come in every room, because every room he comes in, he cleans it up and starts to put gold on the wall, starts to put bright lights up, and makes it beautiful, and makes it wonderful, and takes out all that darkness, because there's darkness in our lives, and the rooms that we keep the light off on are the rooms that give us the problems that steals our quality of life. Oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm just suffering. Let some financial prosperity light in. Study what the Word of God has to say about tithing and receiving and getting your needs met. Well, you know, everything's great except for I'm sick all the time. Open up some healing. Let the light of healing, the light of the Word of God come in. It says that the Word of God, and it's candle. It gives illumination to you. It brightens your whole life. Some people just on cloud nine all the time. Even though they have problems, they don't get upset. They don't fall apart. I'm kind of like that, and I'm believing God to be more like that. But I'll be at work, and things go this way and the other, and I said, I'm not worried about it. I can do what I can only do what I can do. Jesus teaches you to change the things you can change and accept the things you can't change. But there's no bad situation in your life that you can't change. He guarantees you in the Exodus where he says, Exodus 28, where it says, this day I set before you. And every day you should wake up knowing that this day the Lord has set before you, life or death. And then he gives you the answer, choose life. He says it, Deuteronomy 28, this day is set before you the choice of life and death. Choose life. And then he goes on and spends another two chapters telling you what happened if you choose life and what happened if you choose death. And if you look more like the death side, you need to choose to make another choice. You give them in the morning. I think I believe God today. Let me get in the word now. And it is progressive. So with patience, Abraham received the promises of God. With patience, you will grow. You want to be stronger in faith after today than you were before today. You want to be stronger in faith next week than you were this week. Next year than you were last year. The following 5 years, faith to faith to faith. Glory to glory to glory. Anointing and power to anointing and power. And one day you might wake up and say, man, I'm almost there. I've almost arrived. And you'll find out that all those weights which so easily beset you or held you down before, fall off. Man, I used to be always struggling financially. Just couldn't hardly make ends. Worked two jobs, three, just couldn't make ends meet. But I started being faithful to God. And it took a year or so. But the Lord started, and I started being wise too. Because the Bible teaches financial wisdom. I started being wise, and I started not being like the person who threw away all their talents, but the person who was wise with their talents. And all of a sudden, my bills started getting paid. Money started coming in supernaturally to help me put towards that. I started getting extra jobs at work, side jobs and things. And next thing you know, you're paying the bills off. You're paying the bills off. And if you don't get foolish again and get out of faith, you don't go back to that ever again. That's something you licked and you whipped it. And then you got money to give to the missionary, to give to the church, to find some deserving person who needs finances. You know, find somebody on the street and say, God, I want to clean this person's life up. Help them out financially. Get them off the street. Bring them to church. Do what you got to do. That's what we're supposed to be doing, people. You know, I talk to umpteen zillion Christians, and you ask them, well, have you ever led anybody to the Lord? Never. How long have you been born again? Oh, about 100 years. Never. Don't know how to. They didn't teach me in my church. You need to get another church. Because every believer are called to be witnesses. Am I talking about Jehovah's Witnesses? No, I'm not talking about that. Knocking on the doors and all that. If you feel led to do that, you do that. I've never knocked on the door like that. But I've done street witnessing. I've done most of it is through my lifestyle. You all probably work, unless anybody's filthy rich in here. And if so, witness to your butler and your maid. But there's somebody around you could witness to and tell about Jesus in a subtle way. Don't be a religious kook or a fruit. You know, people scare me who are always hollering, hallelujah, praise God, glory to Jesus. Because when they're that exuberant, that lets me know they're that immature. Because the power of God doesn't, I mean, you look at some of the ministries you might admire. You don't see them everywhere you see them. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. Some people can't even speak English. They just always, thee as thou, do as thou. God does not speak 1611 King James Elizabeth in English. So it's just something you do. There's nothing wrong with it if you want to do it, but don't be obnoxious. And you'll find out that as you sow in people's life by just being a good witness and living your life right and letting God change you, and reading the word, they will sense anointing on you. I worked at several jobs where people say there's something about you. And what's about me is the presence of God. And what's about you as a believer is the presence of God. And the more word you get, the more presence of God you get around you, so people will come to you. You know, I'm always having a problem. And sure, they'll run with that knucklehead crowd, but when they really need help, they're going to come to you. Even if they're with the knucklehead crowd talking about you, they'll come to you. Why? Because the presence of God is there and the peace of God is there. And they'll come to you, and then that's your opportunity to witness why you're different. And they're open, they're ready to hear it, they're asking for it, and you get more people born again that way. Witness through your lifestyle, your manner of life. The Bible says your conversation. In 1611, that meant your lifestyle. Today it means the way you talk, but it meant your lifestyle in 1611. Minister like that. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. We thank you for the Spirit of God caring enough about us to teach us, to instruct us, to direct us in righteousness. Father, we thank that the word of God is alive unto us, Father. It's causing us to grow and to develop. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.